We want to declare again what is being lost in this world, that this is the Word of God, and that it has the authority in our life to do what God wants to do. Would you say it together with me? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same again. I will never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you turn with me to the book of Ephesians? Ephesians chapter 3. One of the verses God gave me years ago is a life verse. Began as a verse for the year, but it became a life verse. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. And it's so exciting to hear that so many of you, as you have been spending time in the book of Ephesians and being captured by the prayers that are prayed in that book, have made them your own prayers. There is nothing like praying the Word of God because it is the will of God. Would you look at verse 20? It says this: "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine," say imagine, "according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." This morning I need to share with you what Holy Spirit has laid in my heart regarding what has taken place south of our border this last week. As a new president was sworn into office, and the past president is no longer in the position as not only the U.S. leader, but the world leader, I want to tell you honestly, I want to be straight up. On Wednesday, all day, as Democrats in the United States cheered, as the nation of China cheered, as anti-Israel people cheered, as the globalists and the one percenters cheered, as pro-choice baby killers cheered, as those with communist and socialist leadings cheered, I grieved. I experienced a spiritual sadness on Wednesday that I don't know that I have ever experienced in my life before. And I know that that sadness and that grieving was experienced by countless millions of believers all across this globe as they witnessed a transfer of power. For so many of us, we have not seen a righteous agenda triumph in the world ever before like we did in these last 4 years. We have not seen the life of the unborn trumpeted and protected the way they were ever before. We have not seen Israel befriended and loved and supported by anyone in any nation like we saw in the last 4 years. We have not seen religious freedom tangibly defended and protected and enforced by any nation in the world like we did in the last 4 years. We have not seen, as our own nation rapidly slips into godless paganism, the most powerful nation on earth unashamedly bring God back into the schools, bring God back into the courts, bring God back into Christmas, bring God into the White House in a way it had never happened before. And likely never happened in history. And we have not seen the church in the United States of America awakened the way that it did. In 2015 and 2016, the fruit of that bore out a November 8th election of victory. And since that time, the church has stayed awake and has become even stronger heading into this past election, knowing maybe like never before, this was more than an election. This was light versus darkness. This was life versus death. This was righteousness versus evil. This was love versus hate. And because of that, the amount of prayer, the amount of warring in the heavenlies, the amount of believing and declaring, the amount of prophetic voices declaring righteousness, declaring the will of God, declaring victory again. And then to observe on election day, November 3, but still holding out hope. And then to observe on January 6, but still holding out hope. And then to observe last Wednesday on January 20th. As the transfer of power took place, and on January 21, as the pen in the hand of a new president began to undo the righteousness that had been done, undoing what God had set in place, killing what had been brought to life, decisions being made that not just affect that country, but this country and this province incredibly. And I want to tell you straight, decisions that will affect every nation on the globe and decisions that will affect your life and mine and already are. With one signature of a pen. I would be lying, and I believe we would be lying to say that this has not had an effect on the believing church. It has. Let's just call it the way it is. It has had an effect, and it's going to have an effect. And this is what we need to talk about today. If you have your pens and your pad of paper, I want to give some things to you. And I encourage you to write them down, because by the time I'm finished, you won't remember the first thing I said. I want to share a lot with you today in a short time. And I want you to take it. I want you to chew it with your spiritual cud. I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you beyond today. I release a grace over you. If all you do is come to church and walk out the door and that's it, I release a grace over you that there would be change in these days that would take place in your life. I want to give you five things this morning that God laid upon my heart. If there is a title to the message this morning, would you just write down, "Moving Forward"? That will be the title. Would you write down number one, the prophet? Would you just write down the prophet? One of the big questions that is being asked in light of all that has taken place is, what do we do with all of the prophets who declared the second term for the Republicans, who declared that truth would triumph, who declared a righteous agenda would lead the world again for another 4 years? It has been interesting to watch as so many of us here. We've talked about this before, but I want to say it this way. We have watched as some of those in our world today who hold the office of prophet. They are recognized as prophets. People acknowledge them as prophets. They themselves believe and have received the call of prophet in their life. people who have boldly declared what they believed and what they believe God told them, we have watched as some of them very quickly after November 3rd recanted, repented, raised the white flag, declared that they missed it, apologized to those who listened to their words, and have retreated from the position that they once believed God drew the line in the sand. We have watched that. I could name names to you this morning, big names in the prophetic world who have raised the flag and are no longer apart. The white flags went up quickly for some. But I want to tell you, at the other end of the pendulum, there are those who are declared prophets. They hold the prophetic office, who, in spite of what has taken place on the horizontal level, they are holding fast to the words that they declared. They are saying, it doesn't look like we thought what it would look like, but that doesn't mean that God is not working and He is still about fulfilling the word that He has given. No white flag. No surrender. No retreat. Holding strong to the words that they believed they were given. I tell you, it has come stronger and stronger to me. These are people who are going, I am not moved by what I see. That's not going to change it. I am not moved by what I feel. That's not going to change it. And then you've got every prophetic voice in between. The question is this: as a believer who wants to honor the prophets of our day, who wants to honor their words, who wants to believe that their words were from the Lord, when this happens, what do we do? Let me give you a few things. Just jot these down, would you? The first thing we do is stop throwing stones. Stop throwing stones. Let me tell you this. All we have to do is read Scripture and find out that those who held stones and are positioned to throw them were always the religious spirit, never the body of Christ. I got to tell you what you know. There's lots of stones being thrown today. I expect that from the world. I expect that from the godless. But when the stones are being thrown from the body of Christ toward members of the body of Christ, the enemy sits back and laughs and goes, if I can divide this body, I win. I am not responsible for anything that comes out of your mouth, but I am responsible for what comes out of my mouth. I am responsible to make sure not a single stone of criticism or judgment exits my mouth against the prophet, whether they missed it or not. Believers, we have to stop throwing stones. In spite of the fact that there will be those who throw stones at us, we'll talk about it later, we can't pick them up and we can't reciprocate. Let me tell you what else we got to do. We got to get better at weighing the words that are spoken to us. For some of us, a word is spoken, we take it hook, line, and sinker, and when that ship goes down, we go down with it. How many times have we heard of churches where the pastor has fallen financially, or fallen morally, or fallen in how many ways, and as a result of that, mass exodus out of the church. People disillusioned, no longer believing. Do you know why? Because they put their faith in the word of man and not in the word of God. I want to tell you, body, if you were to walk into my office and I shared with you counsel that I believe was from the Lord, you are not to walk out and go, well, Pastor Colin said to do this, and so we're going to do it. No, that's not what you do. What you do is take the word you received, you go to the Lord and say, Lord, is this from you? I believe you can speak through a donkey. You might even be speaking through Pastor Colin. I want to find out if that was you. If it is, I'll do it. If Pastor Colin missed it, can I just declare to you today, Pastor Colin's going to miss it. And can I declare something else to you? You're going to miss it too. I'll make a commitment. When you miss it, you will not feel a stone coming from my hand. Can I ask that if I miss it, I won't feel a stone coming from your hand? And could we say to the prophets of our day, if you missed it? I want to tell you today, there's not a single prophet out there who is accountable to you and me for what they said. Guess who's accountable? My job was to take the word of the prophet, take it to the Lord and say, Father, is this from you? And if it is, I'm going to believe it and act on it because it's from you, not from this prophet, not from this prophet. If it's the word from the Lord, I'll believe it. If it's not, if they missed it, body, we need to become better at this. In these days where things are being spoken from this end of the spectrum to this end of the spectrum, and we go, well, what do you believe? Let me tell you, you take it all to the Lord. What you get from the Lord is what you believe. Are there those today who declare to be prophets who may have missed it? Yes. Let me declare to you, that is not the unforgivable sin. Are there pastors in the pulpit who are missing it this morning? Yes! That is not the unforgivable sin. I have missed it, and you have missed it. I want to tell you very bluntly, the role of the prophet before Pentecost was a much more significant role because the Holy Spirit was not on everybody. They couldn't hear the same. Prophets were anointed to hear with greater clarity. Can I tell you, when Pentecost came and the Spirit of God fell and landed on every believer, every one of our ears were opened up to hear the voice of God ourself as compared to having to go through the Pope or having to go through a prophet. It is up to us to hear what God is saying, whether it comes from a little slave girl or it comes from the president or it comes from the media or it comes from a prophet. It is our job to take it to the Lord and discern, is that you, God? If it is, I'll embrace it. If it's not, I'm throwing it away. Let me tell you, body, we think it was difficult in the past doing it. Unless we have this nailed and clear in the future, we are going to miss it. We have to learn to discern. Would you write down number two? Would you write down platform? Not person. Platform, not person. If there is one thing over the last 4 years that has revealed to me that what has been going on in the U.S. is way more spiritual than political, it is to see not just the dislike that some people had for the past president, but the abject hatred, the violent hatred. There are people who have said either you love him or you hate him. I don't believe that's true. There are many who voted for and supported and were on the side of Trump, not because they loved him, Not because they agreed with everything he did, not because they liked his antics, not because they thought his tweets were awesome, not because of his past lifestyle and maybe even his president, not for whatever reason, but because he stood for and he fought for and he believed in what the Word of God believed in. On the other side, I got to tell you, you had those who hated him, literally hated him. It didn't matter what he stood for, and I think this is the funniest thing of all. When he stood for and implemented what the Democratic Party had voted in before him, they hated him! Explain that to me if it's not spiritual. I want to tell you, we saw for 4 years a spiritual agenda that hated him so greatly that they did whatever they could do, whether it was legal or not legal, to destroy him and his influence around the world. I got to tell you, this past week in our little city, it was reported and observed that in a store, as an elderly lady in conversation with two young men communicated her support for Trump in public, in front of people watching, were violent with their words, were violent with their actions toward her, as people just watched. What is it about Trump that stirs such hatred in people? I'll tell you what it is. If this is spiritual, and it is, spirits of darkness have always hated the spirit of light. And to have a man who stood for light, all of hell and those with it hated him. Not because of him. Can I tell you clearly? Before he got into politics, the world loved that man. Before he got into politics, they embraced him. The Democratic Party embraced him. The past presidents embraced him. But to become a believer in Jesus Christ, to be anointed for leadership, to have the anointing of Cyrus rise up inside of you, to have the boldness to stand now against the darkness that you were once a part of? Hatred, not dislike, hatred. Such that they would destroy every economy in the world, they would kill hundreds of thousands of lives, just to see him out. The standard of the nation of the United States of America would reduce itself to a third world voting system. Hatred. I heard a powerful statement this past week that is worthy of being repeated. Someone said it was not the person that I supported. It was their policies, it was their platform. They said this: if Joe Biden or Nancy Pelosi stood for what Donald Trump stood for, I would support them. That's almost hard coming out of my mouth. I want to tell you, church, we need to get a hold of that. You want to start a fight in a restaurant? Just mention the name. You want to start a fight in the grocery line? Just mention the name. Oh, I fully support Trump. You want to start a fight? Do that. We're not here to start a fight. Let me tell you what we are here to do. We're here to advance a kingdom. We're here to support a platform. We're here to lift up the Word of God and what it stands for. We're here to build the kingdom of God on earth in the midst of the kingdom of the world. That's what we're here for. The truth is, let's get it straight. We are supporters of what he stood for. We support life. We support freedom of speech. We support freedom of religion. We support Israel. We support law and order. We support righteousness, regardless of whose name. Can I tell you one more shocking thing? If our prime minister stood for those things, I would support him. And I believe you would too. We need to be clear on what we support, not who we support, but what we support. And hold on to those things during these days. Would you write down number three? Would you just write down the word prayer? We are all aware that the church has been awakened. Not all of it. But the part of the church that has allowed the Holy Spirit in its door. I believe today that we have a beautiful picture again of Jesus standing outside Revelation 3, knocking on the door of every church in this nation, knocking. There will be those that open the door and let him in. There will be those that don't open it and will keep him on the outside. Imagine the picture of Jesus on the outside of his church. Why he's given us the ability to keep the door locked and keep him out, I don't know. But he did it in our personal lives. He did it in the church. The church that has opened the door and allowed him to come in. That church has been awakened to pray and to war like we have never before. I have to tell you, we did what so many around the globe did before November 3rd. We gathered. We warred in the sacred assembly. We declared. We believed. We exercised our authority. We stormed the heavenlies. But after November 3rd, after January 6th, after January 20th, when things did not go the way we were believing, it didn't happen like we thought, can I tell you, body, instead of backing off and retreating, you rose up. Over and over, you came and said, this is no time to retreat, no time to quit. We need to ramp it up even more. Can I say, bless you? I have not seen a white flag in this body. I don't believe I will see a white flag. Can I tell you, you won't see a white flag from me. I want to tell you what you know. This is not a time to stop. It is not a time to retreat. It is not time to go home. It is not time to be silent. It is a time to do maybe more than we have ever before. I talked to a gentleman the other day. He said to me almost in amazement, he said, Pastor Colin, he says, I have never prayed for a country or a government or a president or election like I have in the last 4 years. He goes, something has changed in me. And I looked at him and I said, yes. You have allowed the Holy Spirit to move you with the heart of the Father. That is probably true in most all of us here. I want to give you, would you just write a few things down? As I was preparing, the Lord just began downloading things that we need to be praying individually. We're doing it corporately in the war room. But there are some things we need to pray. Would you just write down XL Pipeline? There are those who are speaking like it's already dead. Can I tell you? I believe God is bigger than the stroke of a president's pen. I believe God is wanting to bless this province and this nation. That's what God is into, his blessing, his blessing. We need to be praying and warring. We need to stand with our premier who is ready to take on the president of the United States of America. Have you thought about getting behind him? I have. We need to pray for that. Would you write this down? We need to pray on January 21st with a stroke of a pen. President Biden opened up the financial coffers of the United States of America to reinstitute legalized and government-supported abortion around the world. I've told you before, there are those who are estimating in the next 4 years, 200 million unborn children will die because of the stroke of that pen and the billions that will be paid by the United States of America. We need to pray into that. The world is upset because this many are dying from COVID. They couldn't care less that this many are dying because of a president. Would you pray about this? The United States is withdrawing their support from Israel. You probably heard already on January 21st, they changed the title of the ambassador to Israel to the ambassador to Israel, to Gaza, and to the Palestinians. I got to tell you, we got to pray that that embassy does not move from Jerusalem. That is not beneath that administration. We got to pray, guys. The wall is coming down in the United States of America. The borders are being opened again to tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of illegal immigrants pouring into that nation. That nation is being postured to experience what European countries who opened their border, what our prime minister tried to do in Canada to open its border. Just raise your hand if you are in favor of raising taxes. Just raise your hand. In the last 4 years, the past administration, United States of America, dropped taxes lower than any administration before them. By a stroke of a pen, the new administration is and will be raising taxes that will cripple the economy in the United States of America. Let me ask you this. When is the last time you prayed about taxes? Oh, that's right, when you got your tax bill last year. Would you pray about this? Trillions of dollars are being printed and will be injected into the economy of the United States of America. Do you have any idea what that false money does to an economy? I never thought it could be worse. I want to tell you, when President Obama came into power in the United States of America, the United States debt was $8 trillion. 8 years later, when the Obama administration left, the U.S. debt was $17 trillion. One president in 8 years spent more than the 145 presidents before him. The new president is poised to do magnified, multiplied worse. Do you not think that will affect us? Let me tell you, the U.S. dollar is already dropping in the economies around the world. We need to pray about this, guys. The United States of America is going to re-enter the Iran deal. Under the Obama administration, when the U.S. entered into the Iran deal, the United States of America became the number one supporter of terrorism around the world. With the stroke of a pen, Iran is asking for $7 billion in compensation of what was lost in the last 4 years. The present administration will likely send it in cash, in airplanes, and again become the largest supporter of terrorism around the world. Worth praying about? Can I tell you this? You already know this. For how long did ISIS occupy the news? How long did it take under the past administration before ISIS was crushed? We haven't heard about it forever. Can I tell you what popped up again on Wednesday? ISIS is reforming in the Middle East. They are regathering. They are retaking back ground. They have new leadership. They are beginning to do what they were stopped doing before. And guess who will stop them? Oh, that's right. He's no longer president. Would you write this down? The United States of America is going to re-enter the Paris Accord. You don't understand what that's all about. You don't understand the global warming agenda. You don't understand how crippling that is to economy, to business. You need to learn that that accord is going to kill the economy of the United States of America. One of about eight things in the stroke of a pen that is going to decimate the strength of that country. Church, we got to pray. We got to pray. Don't do it in the middle of the night. You're supposed to be sleeping. But when you wake up, would you write down number four? Would you write down persecution? This is not a word that most all of us ever thought that we would ever have to think about or experience in our lifetime, but let me tell you, things are changing. There are those who said persecution is coming to the church. Can I correct that for you? Persecution has come to the church. After a November 3rd election, under the new administration and all of the change that is taking place, and we're going to see it more and more, most of us are already aware, some very powerful big ministries in the United States of America who stood for righteousness, who stood on the Word of God, who stood for life, are now under attack. I will mention one of them to you. Because we use his material, we use his books, we use his CD, his teaching has changed most all of our lives, the Andrew Walmack Ministry. The government of Colorado, where Andrew Walmack Ministry is located, revoked their tax status as a ministry. They appealed it. They lost. That will not be the last ministry that will come under attack, that will lose its freedoms. There are those who are saying, if you are a church and supported Trump, that you need to lose your rights. There are those who are saying, if you are a Trump supporter, you need to be deprogrammed. We have taken religious freedom for granted for so long. Our present prime minister and our government withheld persecuting the church in Canada, even though the laws were in place, even though they are anti-church, because there was a big dog who would have held them accountable. That big dog was deceived out of office. And now the little dog that has taken his place will not support the church, will not support free speech, will not support freedom of religion. I got to tell you what amazes me. Why is it that if you are on the left and you are a globalist and you are a communist, somehow it seems like you have the freedom to say whatever you want to say and there is nobody to hold you accountable? And yet, if you are in the right and you open your mouth, you are attacked violently. Like somehow they have the freedom of speech and we don't? As of January 20th, that is exactly how it is. Let's say it the way it is. The true church of Jesus Christ stands for things that the world and the demonic hate. They've hated it around the world, which is why persecution has been around the world for years and years, and past President Trump trumpeted in order for that persecution to stop and said, you want the support of the United States, you want United States funding, you stop killing your Christians, you stop imprisoning, you stop persecuting your Christians. He tied money to freedom of religion. Our nations have been tolerant. Canada's been tolerant. United States has been tolerant. That tolerance is disappearing, if not gone. Let me tell you what we believe that the world hates. Simply believing that there is only one way to be saved. Do you know how unpopular that is? Have you ever been called a bigot? I have. So will you. If you ever take the stand when you are approached that says, they're free to believe whatever they want to, there's a whole pile of different ways to get there, and you go, no. Simply believing that we have the ability to hear the voice of God, do you know how hated that is? And can I just make this really clear? Some of the greatest persecution that's coming is going to come from the religious church. Are we ready for that? There are churches that are splitting over the issue of being able to hear the voice of God or not. Simply believing that God is the creator of all things and that one day there will be an accountability that we have to Him. Do you know how popular that is? I wish all of you could have joined me in the university. One of my minors was biology. Ever take sciences in a secular university? You will find that evolution is God and God is dead. I can't tell you how many conversations I had with my prof. Simply believing that there is a hell, that those who don't believe will spend eternity in. Do you know how politically correct that is, church? I think I read that in the book, How to Make Friends and Influence Enemies. No, it's in the book, How to Lose Friends and Make More Enemies. Simply believing that God is the creator of life and life begins at conception, not 1 hour after birth. The new administration in the United States of America will be pressing for life beginning 1 hour after birth. For you and I to stand for life at conception, we will be and are hated. Can I give you a really good one? Simply believing that this is the Word of God. Don't touch it. Don't change it. Don't pull out pages. This is God's Word. I went to a seminary that tried to destroy that in me. We stand for this. There will be a hatred. A hatred. I want to tell you, we need to know that as the days are getting shorter and as the world is getting darker, we may have to pay a price for standing for what's right, for standing for righteousness, for standing for what we believe is true. We may not like it. No believer has ever liked persecution. But can I tell you, the grace on the first disciples who experienced persecution because of their faith will be on us. I've heard this over and over. It's really fascinating in these last number of years when people of God have passed away, how many people have said, I'm so thankful they're going to heaven now and don't have to live through what's coming. But I want to tell you, there will be a grace for those of us who have been called to be alive during this day with what is going on. There will be a grace that rests on us, not just to make it. But I believe the word is more than over. One last thing. Would you write the word prepare? Sounds really crazy, doesn't it? How do we prepare for persecution? How do we prepare not to be liked? How do we prepare for people to lie about us? How do we prepare to be attacked in the grocery store? How to prepare for being hated? How to prepare for being called a bigot because we believe that Jesus is the way? One of the things I want to tell you clearly, Jesus made it clear. He goes, you guys are of your father, the devil. He lied in the beginning, and he will lie all the way through. Can I just say this to you? The devil looks for those who will give him a voice, and he will use that voice to lie about you and I in the Church of Jesus Christ. That voice has lied about presidents. That voice lied about Jesus. That voice seeks to destroy reputations of pastors and believers. That voice seeks to have people believe things about you that are not true. I want to say this to you very clearly. Men, especially men, we are in a day today. I want to encourage you, do not ever find yourself alone with a woman other than your wife or your daughter. In any setting, in a vehicle, in your home, in any other than a public place, do not find yourself in any of those settings. Can I tell you why? How many reputations, how many ministries, how many marriages have been destroyed by one false accusation made by those who know how to use accusations and destroy? They've tried it on me. They've tried it on bigger than me. They're going to try on you. How do we handle it? How do we handle it when people lie about us? Can I tell you what the antidote for that is? Know the truth. Know the truth about you. Can I tell you, it is not what people say about us that determines the truth. It is what God says about me, says about us, that determines the truth. If that is not solid inside of you, if the truth of who you are in God and what He says about you is not solid, when the words of people that come to attack you and come to lie about you and come to misrepresent you, when they come, if you are not solid, those words will affect you. But if I know the truth, they won't move me. They won't move you. Secondly, when someone attacks with anger and my flesh wants to rise up and attack back, the Spirit of God inside of me will empower me to do what those of the world cannot do. Proverbs says this, a gentle word turns away wrath. I had a brother of mine this past week shared an experience he had this week where he was working. Someone came in, opened up their mouth, and unleashed on them all kinds of anger and profanity and poured it out by the truckload. This gentleman said, he goes, if this would have happened a year ago, he said, I'd have backed up my own truck and let him have it. He goes, but this week, Pastor Colin, he said, it didn't move me. He said, I found I didn't get upset. I wasn't even feeling like I wanted to swear and holler back. He said, well, this guy was tripping at this level. He goes, I was able to function at this level. He goes, I know it wasn't me. When the attacks come, when the words are spoken, can I challenge you, do not lower yourself to the level of the person under the influence attacking you. Do not lower yourself. You remain Christ-like in your character, in your words, in your actions, in your tone. Some of us need to be delivered of sarcasm. Would you write down the third one? My flesh doesn't like this one. I'll tell you straight up, neither will yours. I know why God put it in there, but I'm going to ask Him about it. What the heck does it mean in James 1:2 where He says, count it all joy, count it pure joy when you face trials, persecutions, difficulty, hardship, count it all joy? I looked in the Greek one time to find out if they misquoted that. How could James say that? Do you know how? Because he faced it. standing for Jesus in the world that he was in, James faced it. James faced the trial. James faced the persecution. James faced the beating. James faced the imprisonment. James actually faced losing his life. And he was able to say, in the midst of it all, because of the Lord, I was counting it joy. It is so crazy. When you read the account of the disciples, they were taken in, they were beat by the religious. It's always the religious who beat. I don't understand that. They were beat by the religious. They were told not to go out again. They came, they went back out. They left rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for the sake of Christ. Sign here. I want to tell you what this man knew this past week. Only the Spirit of God on the inside of us can make us respond that way when the trial, when the persecution, when the lying, when the misrepresenting, when we are smeared on Facebook, when we are smeared on the computer, when we are smeared in the media, when we are smeared in our community. Only the Spirit of God could make us respond that way. Would you write down the last one, number 4? How do we prepare for this? What are we actually called to do with people who persecute us? What are we called to do? Pray for them. My flesh wants to take them out. So does yours. Give them an opportunity to get saved and then send them. But the Bible says, as children of God, filled with the Spirit of God, when you're persecuted, God says, I want you to pray for them. I want you to bless them. I want you to do good to them. I want you to love them when they don't deserve to be loved. Can I give you maybe the greatest example of all? Do you ever remember the account of Jesus after being beaten, hanging on the cross, looking at those who betrayed him, looking at those who beat him, looking at those who just nailed him to the cross? He's up there looking at them, and he goes, Father, forgive them. I would have went, Father, nuke them! Father, forgive him. And here's, because they know not what they're doing. Can I tell you, we are in a world today where there are a pile of people who are veiled by the demonic who do not know what they are doing, even when they're attacking, persecuting, killing us. They don't know what they're doing. January 20th has come and gone. But things are far from over. Body of Christ, this is our day. Our day to shine brighter, our day to be saltier, our day to love when hatred abounds, our day to bless when people are cursing, our day to pray and to believe, our day to stand when others are falling. Our day to be what God has called us to be, sons and daughters of God, led by the Spirit of God, walking with His authority. This is our day, church. I'll make a commitment to you. If I catch any glimpse of a white flag beginning to raise in your home, restriction or no restriction, I'm coming to visit. And if you ever catch a sniff of a white flag in me, you come to me. You rebuke me, you encourage me, you build me up, you pull me back on track. Because God is far from done. I want to ask if there's questions, but I can't yet. Dana, could I have you come? Would you bow with me in a word of prayer this morning? Oh, Father, I'm so thankful for the reality, as we look with eyes wide open, that Jesus, you are still on the throne, the throne, the throne. Kings come and go. Policies change. But Jesus, you are Lord. And you will always be Lord. I thank you that today you are pouring out a grace upon your body in this earth. I thank you that we have been called in this world to be alien. No wonder they hated you. No wonder they hate us. But Jesus, in John 17, you prayed a prayer, Father, I don't want to leave them alone. I want to be with them and I want to be in them. I want to empower them to be on this earth journey what you have called them to be. I want them to walk as more than overcomers. I want them to be those who take back what the enemy has stolen. Jesus, thank you for praying that, and thank you for answering that in these days. Oh, Father, we know that you're working even when we don't see it, even when we don't feel it. We know that you're working. You never stop. You never stop. You never stop. And we want to be a part of it. And so today, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would pour inside of us a fresh anointing, a fresh baptism of the Spirit, a fresh boldness, a fresh anticipation, a fresh resolve. We have chosen to leave our white flag in the closet. And if there's any flag that we will wave, it will be the banner of victory. It will be the flag of worship as we head into warfare and watch you do the battling. We call the nation of Canada back to the Word of God. We call the nation of the United States back to the Word of God. If you are here today or you're watching online, and as I'm talking, you recognize the reality that there is a heaven and there is a hell. And today, if you were to die, you are not absolutely certain where you would be. The Bible says today is your day of decision. As an act of the will, the Father invites you to open up your heart and your life and receive Him as Lord and Savior. To expel the spirit that has been operating in and through you and to invite a brand new spirit, the Spirit of Almighty God, to come and begin His work. To make you into the kind of person you could never be apart from Him. We are here today because of that. The Father is calling you. If that is a cry of your heart, just as an act of your will, just say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me and paying the price for my sin on the cross of Calvary. I ask you now to come into my life, to be my Savior, forgive me of all of my sin, and to be my Lord. I step off the throne and I ask you to take that place in me. If you prayed that today, we believe that you are born again. Welcome to the family of God. Your eternity is secure as your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We'd love to hear from you if that's what you've done. For those of you under the sound of my voice and here today, if the cry of your heart is to shine brighter in these days than you ever have before, if the cry of your heart today is to be so strong that the words of men and the words of demons against you will not move you because the words of the Father are so solid inside of you, if the cry of your heart is to be for Jesus and not neutral or against Him, if the cry of your heart is to make a difference between now and when the church disappears, I invite you this morning, just between you and the God, right where you are, just would you say to Him, Father, here I am, like Isaiah, here I am. I'm terrified, but I trust you. I don't know what it means, but I'm willing. I can't do it, but I know I won't be on my own. It'll be you in me. The cry of your heart is to stand when everybody else is waving the flag and kneeling and bowing before the pressures of the day. Just let the Lord know, Father, I will not bow. I will stand in front of the fiery furnace in spite of what the president, he's going to kill me. He says he's going to kill me. I'm not bowing. My God will protect me, and even if he doesn't, I will not bow. That's the cry of your heart. Just let him know. He will give you what you need. He will empower you in a way that you could never do it on your own. This is not one of those times where you wait for the person beside you to join and the two of you walk together. No. For some, we're going to walk alone. For some of you, you're going to walk as husband and wife, and the power of that's going to be powerful. For some of you, you will be leaving children behind because they're not going, or parents behind. Who are you going to follow? Though none go with me. But believe me, when you turn around, you're going to find there's a pile who are walking with you, a pile who are hearing the voice of God, a pile who are walking in obedience in that direction. You will not be alone. Just let them know. The rest of the world has experienced for believing Christ what we have never known when it comes to our borders and into our nation and into our city and into our churches. We need to be ready. I declare to you today the words of Paul, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Holy Spirit, right now you're hearing the voice, the heart of every person. Under the sound of my voice, you're hearing it. Would you receive today the blessing of the Lord? I declare to you today, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine on you and to be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and fill you full of his peace. I declare that in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And everybody receiving it with boldness said, amen. God bless you. Thank you for joining us today. Be in prayer for next Sunday. We'll see you the same time, 10 o'clock. Have a blessed week.